Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
By one account, there have been more than 1,000 terrorist attacks around the world this year. ISIS has been quick to claim responsibility for many, including that recent suicide bombing in Baghdad that killed at least 175 people. But even though Turkey suspects ISIS involvement in last week's airport attack in Istanbul, the group has not claimed responsibility. We want to explore the questions surrounding claims of responsibility now with Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. Seth, welcome back.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, when a group like ISIS claims responsibility for an attack like the one in Baghdad over the weekend, how do they make that claim?
They usually do it through multiple social media forums on the internet. So they'll do it on Twitter. They'll do it on YouTube, MySpace, maybe several Facebook pages. And it's a combination often of both ISIS individuals and their surrogates that are pushing out information in many of these forums.
And how do authorities verify that it actually is ISIS that's making that claim?
Well, that's obviously a much more complicated process. In that case, it's looking at who conducted the bombing, what their relationship was like with ISIS, looking at human intelligence, signals intelligence, and other types of intelligence to try to make a direct connection between the individual or individuals and ISIS itself.
And have there been instances where a group like ISIS claims responsibility for an attack, but it's later discovered that it wasn't ISIS?
That's pretty rare. I mean, when ISIS generally claims responsibility for an attack, they usually are involved in some way, and they will often not claim responsibility for attacks where they weren't directly involved. So we've obviously saw that in the U.S. with the San Bernardino and then the Orlando attacks. They were not directly involved, and they did not claim direct responsibility.
So what does it tell you when we don't have a claim of responsibility, like is the situation at least right now in Istanbul with the bombing at the airport that left more than 40 people dead?
That's pretty unusual. ISIS generally either claims responsibility or somehow supports the individuals involved in an attack, says that they weren't done through ISIS, but they consider the individual a martyr. I think what's interesting about this case, and they've done it in Turkey in general, is that Turkey appears to be one of a small subset of countries where they are very careful. Turkey, to be clear, is the primary transit route for fighters, weapons, arms, and other kinds of material between Europe and Syria, or between Syria and Europe. So it goes in both directions. And I think what they're trying to be careful about, what appears to be the case, and actually the CIA director said this recently to the Council on Foreign Relations, is that they want to be careful not undermining too much support within Turkey and affecting their ability to use Turkey as a transit hub for everything that they've needed, particularly in Syria.
Then why are there attacks going on in Turkey, which at least a lot of people looking at them say these are classic ISIS, even if there's no claim of responsibility?
Well, it's not necessarily a logical answer, but what appears to be the case is that ISIS may have decided that if they conduct the attacks in Turkey, including at Istanbul, which is what now most Western agencies, including the Turks, now believe, that they will recognize, that is the U.S. agencies, the British, the Turks, etc., will recognize and find a connection between them and ISIS. And that's important because ISIS is increasingly at war both in Syria and in Turkey and other locations with the Turkish government. So it does send a direct message to the Turkish government and others that ISIS is at war with them. But I think where they're trying to be a little careful is undermining much of the rest of the Turkish population, at least the Muslim population. And so in that sense, there is some doubt, and we've seen it in newspapers, that ISIS is responsible. So I think they'd like to keep it that way. Some question about who is responsible.
Well, and I wonder if they couldn't take advantage of the situation that exists in Turkey, which is when there is a terrorist attack in Turkey. The question is it ISIS or is it this domestic group, the PKK, the Kurdish group that the Turkish government does not like at all? And if you were to allow that question to be out there, some people may think that it is the PKK, even if in fact ISIS is the one that carried out the attack.
Well, and that's exactly what the debate is like in Turkey. I was there recently in Istanbul and actually went through the same part of the airport that was targeted. But there was an ISIS attack when I was there. They did not claim responsibility. And I talked to Turkish police and law enforcement and intelligence folks who had tracked that specific attack to the Islamic State. But the public discussion of it, including the newspapers, there was a question about whether this was the PKK or other Kurdish militant groups that had perpetrated the attack. And I think at this point, it appears ISIS would prefer to sow some doubt when it conducts these attacks, including this possible indication that it may be Kurdish militants.
Seth Jones, do you feel like we're entering a new phase in terrorism? It seems like almost every day at this point there's an attack somewhere in the world.
I do think we are entering a phase of terrorism that is increasingly reaching out of the Middle East, some of the Arab world, and reaching deeper into the West. There was a time when groups like Al-Qaeda were primarily interested in conducting pretty sophisticated, multi-pronged attacks like what we saw in London or Madrid or obviously Washington, D.C. on 9/11. And now there's a fair amount. We've seen it in Orlando. We saw it in San Bernardino, California, that is largely inspirational. It's largely armed assaults or very unsophisticated, improvised explosive devices. And it's relatively easy to do. And the ability of groups like ISIS to touch people in all of these Western countries via social media means that they have gained access to more recruits than they ever could have hoped for by pulling people into their training camps in places like Syria or Iraq. So I think we're there right now, and we've just got to buckle down and I think get used to the reality that we're facing a new phase of terrorism.
And when you say buckle down, is there really anything that a country like the United States or a free and open society, a multicultural society, can do to stop an attack like that that, as you say, is so easy to carry out?
If the individual is connected to a terrorist group, and we've seen a few of those cases, if the individual is talking on social media about conducting an attack and is using violent language, they may come up on the radar screen of law enforcement officials or intelligence officials, either in the U.S. or overseas. But it's the individuals who are careful in what they say, who aren't part of a broader group, have never gone overseas to conduct training. Those kinds of individuals are going to be very difficult to spot. And I think what you see across every major government, from Australia to France to Belgium to the U.K. and to the United States, that they will not be able to stop every single one of these kinds of plotters, because the time between when they decide to strike and when they strike, and I think that's the case in Orlando, can be very, very quick. It's hard to prevent those kinds of attacks.
And in terms of preventing those kinds of attacks, would you say that it's really a matter of better intelligence or that there is some military aspect to preventing those attacks by sending troops somewhere and taking out the root of the problem?
Well, look, I think it's a combination of factors. I think the more that ISIS loses territory in the Iraq and Syria context and other places, including Libya, where they've lost some ground in Sirte, the more it may deter individuals from being attracted to ISIS. It's not winning anymore. But I think when it comes to the United States, I mean, I do think there is a vested interest in continuing to work with a range of ethnic and religious communities to make sure that if they have individuals that are that look like they're involved, that people will to call law enforcement officials. I mean, this is not, you know, the vast majority of ethnic groups and religious groups in the United States are peaceful, And there are lots of cases where individuals have reported on bad apples. And I think that's that relationship between the government and then communities that is important. If that breaks down, if that trust breaks down for a range of reasons, then that kind of information will never surface.
Seth Jones, Director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much.